Morning. Privileged to sing with you today, and it's such a privilege to sing to our God, is it not? And I can't believe that He allows us to do that. excuse me. I hope those words, you know, amazing grace. We can never grow weary of being thankful and praising the Lord for His amazing grace to us. And so with that being said, it was a privilege to sing to our God with you today. Take your Bibles at this time, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews, if you're not there already. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. As Pastor Patrick said, Pastor Scheif and his wife Connie are away visiting a couple of the missionaries that we support, and so he graciously asked if I would speak in his stead today. And so Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 3, we're going to look at a passage that I'm going to put my phone here so I know what time it is. Some of you are happy about that, I can tell. We're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning that I think a lot of you would say, I think you'd agree with me, that this is a very familiar passage. You've probably read this before. Some of you may not have, and that's okay. But this is a passage that has probably over the last, I don't know, probably 8 to 10 years, been extremely special to me. This passage has had a huge impact on me personally. And my hope is this, two things. That number one, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if there's never been a time in your life when you have placed your faith in Him, I hope that today you may, I really hope today will be that day for you where you will understand everything that He has done for you and accept Him as Savior. If you have received Him as Savior, what my hope is this, my prayer is this, is that we can all leave here today with a bigger, bigger view of Jesus, a more thankful spirit in our heart, maybe towards Him than maybe we had before, because of everything we're going to talk about that He has provided for us through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, through His example to us. I hope we can leave here with a greater, maybe a greater appreciation for our God. So with that being said, let me pray and ask God for His help, and then we'll look at these verses together. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before You. I want to just say one more time that I need You, and that we all need You. And would You just guide our time here in Your Word? I pray that I've asked You this many times. I want to ask it one more time publicly, that You would indeed guide the words that I use as I use Your words to be an encouragement to this church family. Father, I ask that Your Holy Spirit would bring conviction, bring encouragement wherever it is necessary. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up, I wasn't a great big sports person. How many of you are big sports people in here? You played a lot of sports growing up. Let me see your hands. Adults, a lot of sports growing up. Okay. I did not play a ton of sports growing up. If you see me walk, you'll know why I didn't play a ton of sports growing up. Don't laugh. That wasn't a joke, believe it or not. Okay. No. And I did play a little bit of volleyball, I did play a little bit of baseball, and I did play a little bit of soccer. And my experience was probably normal. In my experience in elementary school, up into high school, I played on a couple of really, really good teams, and I also played on a couple of like really, really bad teams. I mean, we were really bad a couple times. There is one sport that, which we're going to talk about today a little bit, that God uses here, that I have absolutely zero experience with, absolutely none. And that is the sport of running. I have absolutely no experience with that. Mr. Leroy Straley sitting here has a ton of experience with that. But I have no experience with this. I never ran on a competitive scale. I do run a little bit, but for a whole different reason. Excuse me, I've never run. You'll have to correct me if these terms are wrong. I have no experience with track and field, I think it's called. I have no experience with cross country. I've never run a marathon. I don't really plan to unless God makes me. So for some reason, you know what? I do take that back. I did run, if you want to call this competitively, I did run a couple of months ago in Camp Kennesaw-Talkie's 5K fundraiser. If that's competitive, maybe some of you consider that competitive. I actually ran it with my son Trent. Me and my 7-year-old ran it together. We had a great time. We were also beat miserably by my daughter Casey sitting here. And she was running with her very pregnant Aunt Shannon. So that should tell you how good of a runner I really am, okay? I do, like I said, I do run a little bit, but not because I enjoy it. I run because I like to eat. I can't give that up. And so you have to do a little whatever, something to keep that where it should be. Here in this passage, God reveals to us that there is a race that He desires for all of us to run. Okay? All of us. There's a race that He desires all of us to run. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is a race that, here's the deal. If you are sitting here in this room right now and you're a Christian, if there's been a time in your life, listen to me, if there's been a time in your life where you have realized that that you are not a good person and that you have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and deserve to be separated from God forever, if there's ever been a time in your life where you have realized that, and then you've also realized that not only is that true, but God Himself, whose name is Jesus, came and lived a perfect life, was without sin, didn't sin one time, and became the sacrifice that you and I needed to pay the penalty for our sins. And He died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sins and for my sins. And if there was a time whenever you understood that, realized that, believed that, and then your belief led you to call upon His name and ask Him to save you, then this race is for you. You are in this race right now. The minute that you called upon His name, Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The moment that you called on His name, that is the moment that you jumped off the starting line in this race. Okay? I don't know if a lot of us picture it like this very much, okay? But the moment that happened for you, you entered this race, okay? Whether you knew it or not, you entered it, okay? And God says, "I want you to run this race that I have laid before you." Now, as we look at this race, the first question that we need to answer is, what is this race that God is talking about? And simply put, here you go. And we'll go into a little more explanation, but simply put, here is what this race is. This is the race of the Christian life. This is the race of a life of faith that God calls each of us to live. Okay? It's a life of faith. It's a life of this race started with faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, the Bible says. You entered this race through faith by placing your faith in Jesus, by believing in Him. That's how you entered it in the first place. And now He says, "I want you to live in faith continually. Live a life that I am pleased with." The Bible says that for without faith it is impossible to please God. Right? Live a life that is that I am pleased with. A life of faith. A life that, I thought over and over again how to explain this. It's a life that says, "God, not only have I believed in You, but I believe You. I believe what you say. When you say it, I believe you, and I totally trust you in every aspect of my life. My life is for you because I trust you. I give my life to you because I trust you, and that filters its way out this way, in that I live to fulfill the will of God. And I say all that because that's what Jesus did. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. That we're going to get to this part of the message. I'm going to give you a little bit of it here real quick, just because I think it's very, very important to think about it like this as we go through this before we get to Jesus, that Jesus became our ultimate example of living the perfect life of faith. And he lived his life totally trusting his Father in every way, fulfilling the will of his Father because of the trust and relationship that he had with him. That is the race that we are in. And God says, this is the race that I want you to run. A race that's a life that says, God, I believe you. I trust you. I want to know you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to seek after you. I want to know you. That way I can glorify you with my life. What was our camp verse? I think that this really, really plays into it. The kids will be able to quote this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do today. It doesn't say today. I threw that in there. But whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And whenever he says do all to the glory of God, what that means is everything that I do, because I'm living for him, because I'm living this life of believing and trusting in him as his child, what that literally means is that I, with whatever I do, I want to give the correct opinion of who he is. That's what it is to give God glory. It means that with whatever you say and do, that you give the correct opinion. Whenever people look at your life and see you, see what you talk about, see how you live your life, see how you handle situations, do they see God in you? Do you give the correct opinion of God? Do you handle that situation the way he would? This is a life that pleases God. This is a life of faith. And we know that this is what God is talking about because he just explained it to us back in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, a lot of you will probably realize, will probably know, you probably heard this before. Maybe some of you haven't, Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Hall of Faith chapter. Have you heard that before? Okay, some of you have heard that before. He has just gotten done walking through, giving us all kinds of names that he says that these people were people of faith. Not only had they placed their faith one time in or in God, for that matter, Jesus had not come yet. They were looking forward to the promise, but they lived their lives in faith. Okay, and he names a couple of them. He names Abel, he names Enoch, he names Noah, he names Abraham, and the list goes on. And then he goes so far as to name a whole host of people, and he doesn't name them, but he says there's a whole host of people who have gone before you, who have lived this life of faith, okay? There's a whole host of people that are like this, okay? Who have lived this life of faith. And then he jumps to chapter 12. As soon as he gets done talking about that, he jumps to chapter 12. And by the way, I need to just throw this in here. This is, Jesus, our God, is so much part of this. As we live this life of faith, that God, as we run this race that he is asking us to run, as we live this life of faith that is totally about him and totally sold out to him, and as we think about that, I think it's important to remember Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, because God is so much a part of this, where he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So basically, he says, listen, yes, you have a responsibility. I want you to run. I want you to live the life that I've called you to live, but don't forget that you are enabled to live it through Jesus and through God working in you. Don't forget that. God is a huge part of us. It's very, very hard to take any credit. Okay? If you're like me, you love to take credit. But it's very, very hard to do that whenever it comes to our spiritual lives and our relationship with God. Okay? So he just gets done talking about these people in Hebrews chapter 11. Then he jumps to chapter 12. After he just got done talking about these people whose lives were marked with faith. And then he says in chapter 12, therefore, since we, in other words, look back to what I just talked to you about. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now let me stop here for a minute and just say this. Whenever he talks about this cloud of witnesses, most of you, I think, will understand what I'm about to say. Whenever we moved here, nigh on a decade ago, I was told that this area is known for being cloudy. Okay? Hey, yeah, you're chuckling, so you understand what I'm saying. Okay. Hey, yeah, and by the way, this year I think it's been a little different. I mean, look, the sun's shining right now. I think the sun has peaked itself out a little bit. Which has made me very, very happy. I often have wondered if it's because Patrick brought his family here from Montana, and God said, "Yeah, I'll shine my sun in there on those people a little bit." Anyway, what he said, but it's cloudy around here, right? We're used to a lot of clouds, and no one in this building is a stranger to waking up in the morning. And you've probably done this the last several mornings. You wake up in the morning and you look outside. You look up and you don't see any blue. Okay, did that happen for you this morning? Okay, you don't see any blue. All you see is a white blanket out there. Okay, are you with me? Have you seen that? Okay, that's what he's referring. That's the picture he's painting here. Okay, he's saying, listen, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, there are so many who have gone before, people of old, that have run this race. And this is, once again, God's encouragement to us. This is a blessing that he gives to us that he didn't give to everybody. And his point is very clear. He's like, look, you have all of these people that have gone before, that have lived a life of faith, that have run this race well, that I want you to run. And his point is extremely clear. There is all these people. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before him. So in other words, listen, he gets a little competitive here, okay? Which is fine, obviously. He says, listen, all these people ran before you. If they were able to run this race, you are able to run this race. They ran. And so can you. They are witnesses that this race can be run. And he says, this is the race that I want you to run. Okay? This is the race that I want you to run. Now, and by the way, they didn't run it perfectly. We need to just remember that. They didn't run their race. These people were not without sin. Okay? Just go back in Hebrews chapter 11 and read some of the names, then go to the Old Testament and read their story, and you'll find there was all kinds of struggle going on, right? Okay? There's all kinds of sinfulness going on, repenting going on, coming back to the Lord, all those things. David is a prime example, right? Okay? These people were not without sin, but they lived lives of faith. Lives that said, God, I trust you. God, I love you. God, I am yours. God, I am seeking after you. And I want to do your will with my life. That's who these people were. And he says, that's the race I want you to run. Now, the next thing that we need to talk about that God reveals to us here is that God tells us that this race that we are in is hard. Is a race not hard? This is not a 100-yard dash that he's talking about. I think that's the thing. If it's not, you have to correct me later. This is not a short race. This is a marathon of the Christian life, you could call it. And it's not easy. It's long. Okay? It's long. And the race that he set out before us is not all flat, you could say. It's not this flat downhill kind of jaunt. No. He says this race is hard. It's a hard race. Now, we're going to get to where it can be run with joy. We'll get there, but it's important to understand this. In fact, it's really, really interesting that the word race here is the Greek word agon, which is the word that we get our English word agony from. You could literally re-say this and say that he is saying, run the struggle. Run the struggle. This is not an easy race that he is asking us to run. This life of faith is not an easy life that he has called us to. And you don't have to look very far for it to make sense. This is a life that if you're a Christian, this is the life that when you wake up in the morning, it is right in front of your toes. Okay? What is the will that God has for you today? God, with everything that I say, with whether I eat or drink or whatever I do today, I want you to be glorified with everything that I do. I wake up in the morning. This is where it gets super practical. What is your will for me today? What can I trust you with? Hey, I've given you that wife that I want you to love and not be harsh with. I want you to do that today. Okay. Hey, I've given you those kids. I can relate to this. A lot of you can relate to this. I've given you those kids that I don't want you to I don't want you to provoke them to wrath, okay? But I want you to bring them up in the training and discipline of me. That's what I want you to do. That's my will. Do you trust me with that? Yes. Okay. Okay? This is, I've given you that job right now. I want you to go to that job, and I want you to do a good job to glorify me with everything that you do in your job. I want you to work hard. I want you to provide for your family. He tells us that. Do that. You have co-workers. You have neighbors. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to tell them about me. Look for opportunities to do that. This is the life that pleases God. That I live in faith. Okay? And it's not easy. You don't have to look too far to realize that it's not easy. Whenever life circumstances are not what I want them to be, and you can fill in your own story there. Whenever life circumstances are not what I would want them to be in some way, whether you would say it's bad or mediocre bad or whatever the case might be, whenever they are not what I want them to be, it's not easy all the time, is it, to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him and let Him direct my paths. That's not super easy, is it? If you're anything like me, maybe that's the last thing that you end up getting to after you've exhausted like be everything else. It's not super easy to love God with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my mind. It's not easy for me to say, God, I am giving my life back to you sacrificially as an offering to you because I trust you with it in every way and you do with it whatever you want to do. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to love your neighbor as yourself. You want me to love my enemy? You want me to love the person that did that to me? Or that said that to me? You want me to love them? Yes. This is the life of faith. I totally trust you. I totally believe you. And I live my life out that way in doing your will. This is what Jesus did. We're going to get there. But he says, listen, if you're going to do this, in order to run the race that I have asked you to run, okay, there has to be something that you have, okay? There has to be something that you have. Look at what he says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with what? Patience, or some of your translations may say endurance. That word patience doesn't mean that you put up with people that you don't like. That word endurance there carries the idea, or patience, it carries the idea stick-to-itiveness. It carries the idea of like weight pressing down on you, and you're feeling a lot of pressure, and it hurts, but you don't stop. You don't stop, even when you want to. It's not hard to figure out how people that are in a race need to have endurance, right? Does that make sense? Okay? You hear about it all the time. Whenever people are racing, they hit that spot where, man, it's getting hard and they need to endure. They need to stick to it even when it's really hard. Okay? Now, I can't relate to running like that because I don't know that I ever have. But one way that I do have that I do need endurance is on my day off a lot of times. I thought about this as I was studying this word. Where I need endurance, and hopefully this will illustrate it, is a lot of times my day off is on Friday. I take the day off on Friday a lot of times, and I try and spend it with my family. And my wife knows that, and so Friday comes, she knows I'm going to try and be around, and she'll say this to me. She'll say, because I like to work out a little bit. She likes to work out a little bit. And she'll say, hey, I want you to work out with me today. And when she says that, like, I don't say this. Well, I'm going to say it now, and she's sitting right there. But oftentimes I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh, no, like, I don't want to do this, you know. And I don't, let me just be very honest with you. Okay, I'm laying all my cards on the table here, aren't I? Like I don't say that, I don't think that because I think her workouts are, you know, these sissy workouts that you know, oh, they're just, well, you know, I need more than that. No, it's actually just the opposite. Okay, like her workouts are different, and they're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. I mean, the moves that you have to do in her workouts, I mean, it touches muscles that I didn't even know I had, and I mean, it's just they're just so bad. And these workouts that my wife does. By the way, ladies, by the way, yeah, wives, if your husband ever says that to you. I'm just going to burn this bridge right now. If he ever says to you that yeah, oh no, I can't work out with you because I need like a bigger workout than that, he is a lying to you, okay? That is not true. And just the other Friday, Megan had to like encourage me like crazy because I'm dying at the end of this workout that I'm doing with her. I'm so dying and I'm just like, oh man. She's lifting the same weights that I am. Like I'm literally down to lifting her size weights. I am that tired. And just, oh, like I'm breathing hard. She looks over at me. She's breathing just fine. Oh, I'm lifting the same amount you are right now. And like taunting me with it. And I'm just like, leave me alone. I can't argue with you right now. And then she said this. And then she said this to me. She's like, hey, you can't stop. You can't stop. Listen to this, okay? You cannot stop. You have to push through this. We're almost done. I know it hurts. You cannot give up right now. She had to tell me that. That's the idea. That's the idea here. We need to run this race of faith with endurance. There's going to come parts in it where our faith is tested. And when those days come, he says, you must be running with endurance. And in order to run with endurance, and we're going to, and with the last few minutes that we have, we're going to talk about three things that he says you must be committed to in order to run the race set before you with endurance. So look down with me. Let's look at these three things quickly. Paying special attention to the last one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. The first thing that he says you must be committed to if you're going to run the race of faith with endurance is you must be committed to laying aside weight. Now, this word weight carries with it the idea of hindrances, okay? You must be committed to laying aside hindrances. He's not talking about sin. We're going to get to sin here in a second, but this is not sin. He's saying you must be committed to laying aside anything that is going to hinder you from running in the race well, from living your life, trusting, serving, loving, seeking after, and doing the will of God. Anything that is going to hinder you from doing that well, he says you need to lay that aside. Now, for example, let me just give you one example here. And you can come up with all kinds of examples. Obviously, a crucial thing in having a close relationship with God, please listen to me, a crucial thing in having a close relationship with God is your personal quality time with Him in Bible reading and prayer. That is a crucial part of your relationship with God. The Bible has so much to say about it. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." John 17, 17 says, Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 3, "Christ, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." How do you and I get to know Him better? How do you and I get to hear from Him? How do you and I learn to trust Him and learn more about Him so that we can praise Him and talk about Him? And how do we know the kind of person that He wants us conformed into? It's by burying our nose right here in this book. Is regular quality time with God in His Word, in Bible reading and prayer, is that a regular part of your life? Answer that question. And if the answer is no, now here's what we're talking about. If the answer is no, then what is hindering you from spending that time with God? What is hindering you? Let me just say this. Is it, and it could be all kinds of things. This is just something that I thought of. Could it be that you do not have enough time to take care of both your Facebook account and your Instagram account and spend quality time with God? Now, there's nothing wrong with having social media accounts. There's nothing sinful about that, about having social media accounts. But have they become a hindrance to you in your walk of faith, in your pursuing God, in your learning to trust Him, loving Him, living for Him, working His will out in your life? Have they become a hindrance, or is it something else? Is it something else? That's for you to fill that blank in. He says, whatever the hindrances are that are keeping you from running well, a good runner will take off hindrances so that they can run well in a race. Same thing is true in the Christian life. What hindrances do you need to lay aside so that you can run this race well? That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Let us lay aside weight and sin which clings so closely. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I really want to spend a lot of time on the third thing because it is so important. But the sin that clings so closely, the idea here is sin that we all struggle with sin. We all need to lay sin aside. But sin that clings so closely, or some of your translations may say a sin that so easily besets you. And the idea there is that, is there a sin in your life that kind of has you surrounded? That it's easy for this sin to take control of you. This sin has become a problem. All sin is a problem. I don't want you to get me wrong. All sin is a problem. But has this sin become a problem? And that when you're tempted with this, you give into it pretty much all the time right now. It has control of you. Is there something like that in your life? If there is, that's going to hinder you. That's going to not be helpful in you pursuing after God. That's not going to be helpful at all. That is going to hinder your relationship with God. He says you need to start to work on setting that aside. And here's a little bit of homework for you. Can I give you some homework? Thank you. Okay. Maybe there's something we all need to be open to this. That our hearts are deceptive and desperately wicked, right? We all need to be open to the fact that maybe there's a sin in our lives that we're not even really keen in on, and maybe not even super aware of. And so, let me give you this homework. Would you go home today? Husbands, do this to your wives. Wives, do this to your husbands. If you don't have any of those, call your best friend. And say to them, hey, I just want to ask you this. Can you tell me, is there anything in my life that you see that is a problem, that has become a problem? Maybe I'm having trouble seeing something that I need to lay aside. I want to be really serious about pursuing after my God. I want to be really serious about my relationship with Him and living this life of faith and trust in Him. I want to be really serious about that. I don't want anything hindering me. So if there's something there, I want to know about it so that I can set it aside. Will you do that today? Will you do that today? I want to encourage you to go do that today. Lay aside sin which clings so closely. And now the third thing that we must be committed to. We must be committed to those two things, to laying aside hindrances, laying aside sin. And the last thing that we need to be very committed to is this. And this is where I really hope that we can really, fall in love with Jesus all over again. And just be grateful for who He is, that He's the one, God is the one who helps us in this race, who enables us in this race, and then He's there for us in this way. He says in verse number 2, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Third thing we must be committed to as God's people is looking to Him in this race. Now, that this carries the idea of just fixing your attention on something. I remember back whenever my son Trent was a little bit younger. I think he's like 4 or 5. He's 7 going on 8 right now. But he used to do something that I just thought was great. Like if we were eating, breakfast, lunch, dinner, didn't matter. If Megan had a dessert that she brought to the table, he would do this. He would fix his eyes on it. And he would eat like this. Drinks over here. And he wouldn't look away. And every once in a while, I would do this just because I thought it was so funny. I'd be like, hey, Trent, can you pass me like the French fries? He would literally like be looking. He'd go. And he would not look away from that because he wanted to make sure it was still going to be there whenever he was done eating. And that's the idea here. Okay? That's the idea that Jesus is saying, listen, as you are running this race of the Christian life, as you're running this life of faith, listen to me. He's saying you need to not look left. You need to not look right. You need to not look down. You don't look at other people. Don't focus on your circumstances, whether they're easy or hard. Don't look around. What you need to do is you need to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And then he says, look at what he says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Look at Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. That word founder there carries really two ideas. Number one, it carries the idea of originator. In other words, your life of faith originated with Him. Okay? Your life of faith started with Him. You entered into the race by placing your faith in Him. It all started with Him. It all started with Him. He is the beginning of it all. He's the beginning of it all. But it also carries the idea of being, that this word founder also carries the idea of being a captain or a trailblazer. Jesus is the only one who perfectly ran the race of faith. He perfectly ran the race of faith. Look at what he says. It's unbelievable whenever you really look at the life of Jesus. Number one, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And as Jesus is being baptized and the Holy Spirit is coming upon him, a voice from heaven is heard, God's voice, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well, what? Pleased. I am well pleased. And look what Jesus did. Jesus absolutely trusted his Father in all things. He was very honest about the fact that he was not here to do his will, but to do his Father's will, because he totally trusted his Father. Look at what the Bible says. John 5, verse 30, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." How is that going in your life? Do you care about the will of God? As you run your race, connected to Him, believing in Him, trusting Him in all things, and therefore His will is so important to you, do you care about your will or do you care about His will? What do you think about throughout the day? Very, very important. How are you doing with that? Next thing, Jesus absolutely trusted His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. You knew this was coming. When He became so burdened over what was about to take place that He actually started to sweat great drops of blood. He knew what was about to happen to Him, how He was about to take on the sins of all of mankind. But I have a funny feeling that's not the only thing that bothered Him. He knew He was about to be separated from His Father, a thing that had never happened before in eternity past. They had the close, loving, unified, perfect relationship that was about to be severed. And it had never been severed before. And Jesus, as He's going through that, He absolutely placed His faith in His Father. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." And then He prayed again a little bit later, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, Your will be done." In other words, "Father, if this is how You're going to accomplish Your will, I will do it." Obviously, we can read into this and say, obviously, in His humanity, and how does this fit together? I'm not sure I totally understand, but obviously, in Jesus' humanity, maybe He would have picked a different path. But God said, "This is My path." Jesus said, "Okay. I totally trust You with this." And then, last thing, He absolutely trusted His soul to His Father when He prayed to the Father one last time, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." He absolutely entrusted Himself to His Father. Do we have that kind of trust? Jesus, from start to finish, perfect example to us of what it is to live by faith. This is the race that God wants you to run. This is the race that God wants me to run. And look at what He did. Next, He's the perfecter of our faith. That means He's the one who brought faith to completion. He's the one who accomplished everything necessary to give you and I eternal life. Our faith begins and it finishes with Jesus. And He also finished His race. And because He finished His race, we can finish our race. Because if He had not finished His race, we would not have a race to run. This is who Jesus is. And He says, "You need to look at Me. You look at Me. You don't look around you. You look at Me." And He says in verse 3, and let me end with this. Actually, no, let me say one more thing. Look at what He did. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." He accomplished all of this for you and me because of the joy that was set before Him. It was joy to Jesus to accomplish the work that His Father gave Him. It was joy to Him to save all who would place their faith in Him. And it was joy to Him to be reunited in heaven with His Father, where He now sits on the right hand. All this was before Jesus, and it was a joy to His heart to fulfill what He had come to do and live the life of faith so that you and I could live a life of faith. Let me close with verse 3. It says, consider him, the one we just talked about. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Okay, now, so let me say this in closing. So God is saying to all of us, here's the race that I want you to run. If you have jumped off that starting line, here's the race that I want you to run. I want you to live a life of faith. Your life started with, Israel started with faith, and it continues in faith. That you trust me, that you believe what I say, that you pursue me, that you know me, and let that flesh itself out in your life in doing my will. That is the life of faith. And Jesus, and God says, that's what I want you to run. This is a life that pleases me. Live your life to my honor and glory. This is the life that I am pleased with. And he says, listen, do all of these things. It's that life that's right in front of your toes. You get up every morning, like we said before, get up every morning. You love that wife. You raise those kids. If you have grown children, you continue to reach out and raise those kids. My dad says we give him more trouble than he's ever dreamed we would in our 30s than when we were in our teens. You go to that job. You do all to the glory of God. And Jesus says, here's how you do it. You lay aside hindrances. You lay aside sin. And more than anything, you look at me. You look at me. I'm the one who ran before you. I am the one who finished everything for you. I am the one who empowers you to run this race. You look at me and you run. This is the race that I want you to run. We grow faint-hearted sometimes, don't we? We can grow faint-hearted. This race is hard. The life of the Christian is not easy. But we can run it with joy. And Jesus says, you look at me, you run, you do my will, and at the end, there will be joy forevermore, for in my presence there is fullness of joy. How are you doing in running this race? And I hope you're grateful for what Jesus has done. And I hope our appreciation can just spiral out of control for who he is to us and what he's done. Would you bow your heads with me as we close? Father, I just want to come before you at this time. I just want to say thank you. I am just overwhelmed with who you are. And that you would do this for us. Father, you don't ask us to do anything that you did not do. Father, I ask for each one just sitting in this room. Maybe their race is hitting a hard spot and their running is hard. Father, I ask that you would help them to obey what your word says and look to you and consider what you have gone through for them. And Father, let us all gain your power through obeying what you've asked us to do. I just want to ask, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anyone in here who would say, man, I don't know that I've ever entered this race. I don't know that I've ever placed my faith and believed in Jesus. Maybe you've been sitting there thinking that this whole time. I just want to give you an opportunity right now, just in case you're ready to take advantage of it. If you know that you have never believed on Jesus and been saved and become his child, I'm going to lift up my eyes. Would everyone just keep their eyes closed? Would you raise your hand if that's you right now? All right. I'm very grateful that everyone sitting in this room is claiming to be a child of God. Let me encourage you to go out from here and through the power of God, run the race that he has set before you. Father, we ask that you would empower us to do this. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.